Elevate Lifestyle Podcast, AR Records, this your boy Eternal. Elevate your mind, elevate your body, elevate your soul, and in turn, elevate your lifestyle. Elevate Lifestyle Podcast, AR Records, it's your boy Eternal. Man, I got a very special guest for y'all tonight. I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it again. In my opinion, one of the number one tattoo artists in the age, man, my man E. E, what's good, yo?
What's good, bro? What's good, man?
Hey, thank you for coming out tonight, man. Real quick, can you give the people your name, what you do, and how long you've been doing it? Give them a little bit of a background on who you are.
My name is Ernest Garza. I'm a tattooer. First and foremost, overall, I'm an artist and everything. I do paintings, I do drawings, I do a little bit of everything, man. Started when I was 14 out of my mom's house. You know, just hood rat shit, you know.
On some real no doubt. But so real quick, man, you've been tattooing for how long now?
Going on 18 years, man.
18 years in the game, right? So you started. Let me ask you a question, man. Tattooing, first and foremost, in its foundation, the fundamental is what?
Drawing.
It's drawing, right? It's all art, from you would say, right?
Most definitely, man.
And so you started drawing, right? First and foremost, before you started tatting, or was it reverse?
Yeah, man. I was actually doing graffiti back in the day when I was in pretty much elementary. I didn't know
what hood rat shit. Hood rat shit, bro.
Like I said, I didn't know what it was. As I progressed in my school years, I started to get linked up with people that were doing the same shit, and you know, come to find out it was a street art thing. And you know, running with the streets, you see,
right? Well, yeah, 100%. So you started doing graffiti, and then from there, did you, like, when you were spray painting, right, when you're doing graffiti, was there times like you were at the crib and you was just like, yo, when did you start actually drawing?
So probably started drawing in fourth or fifth grade.
Okay, and no doubt.
One of my homeboys was gangbanging. He was doing some hood rat shit.
Some hood rat.
Already, you know, yeah, in fourth or fifth grade, bro. Like some real shit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
He actually got in trouble because he had some stuff that was gang related on his binder, and he gave it to me. And, you know, I was already intrigued. So I was like, hey, man, you know, what is this? What is that? And he's like, well, it's called, you know, putting up your set or getting up.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of took it and ran with it, and I liked it. And as time progressed, I fell into tattooing because I had homeboys that had tattoos, and they put together homemade machines. And
so your first tattoo was when? Do you remember?
I got my first tattoo.
When did you get your first tattoo?
I got my first tattoo when I was 13.
When you were 13. How many tattoos do you have right now?
Not enough.
No, it's spoken from like a true tattoo artist. Yo, only fucking people that get tatted and tattoo artists will understand what he just said now. Yeah. But if you had to just kind of generally just to let the people know, like, how many do you have?
Probably more than 50.
More than 50, yeah. Top to bottom, right?
Yeah.
Is there a place on your body that is not? So you got your chest, your stomach, your legs, your arms, you got your whole headpiece, man. Shout out, that's a dope headpiece. You got your neck, I believe your neck tatted, right?
Yeah, I got my neck
face
tatted.
Tatted.
I got my face tatted. I got everything.
Everything. Let me ask you this, bro, because I know you very well, you know what I'm saying? I've had the privilege of not only knowing E on a professional level, meaning his profession, tattooing, you know, he's done on me. I believe we were just counting them, bro. I believe you've done, let me count them out. Do you mind if I count them out real quick?
For it,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, I believe 7 original tats E has done on me. And then he's also helped me with things that needed to be cleaned up from, unfortunately, you know, tattooing. It's not a game, meaning if you have the wrong tattoo artist, man, they do the wrong thing. And then we have the one I just got tatted from you on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, today's Wednesday. I got tatted on Monday.
Actually,
and it's actually my most important. I say this to you every time I come to him. I say my most important one because it is now, and we're going to finish that on Sunday. But so I've had the privilege of knowing E on a professional level, and then I've also had the privilege of knowing E on my professional level. I'm a fight instructor, and E is one of my students, so I've seen him on both ends. So when it comes to, and the reason I bring this up, bro, is because, well, I'll let you answer the question. When we spoke about this, when you step out anywhere, let's just say to fucking Kroger, to wherever, go to the coffee shop, go to the club, what is the first impression people get who don't know you?
Thuggy thug.
Yeah, you just thugged out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, you have a background to where, you know that is not far from the truth, right? With the people, right?
Yeah, most definitely, man.
But would you say today, now, in this time where you're at in your life, would you say that's accurate?
Time and a place for everything, bro.
Right, and would you say you've moved past...
I got a big heart, man. You know,
100%. This is what I was getting.
A lot of people, man.
This is exactly what I was trying to get at. So a lot of people, they see your tats, right? Especially the head thing. And would you tell me if you feel this accurate? The people sometimes may get scared. They don't know. But they're standoffish. Is that accurate?
I would say so, man, for the most part. Man, the surprising thing is I have senior citizens ask a lot more than anybody that are more interested in knowing what's up, you know.
That's dope because, you know, they're actually not judging you, correct?
They're like, oh, that's amazing. Can I look at it, you know?
That's dope, 100%. And respect to anyone that, you know, is going to look at something and not judge it and then actually, you know, ask questions, absolutely. Right now, man, would you say that you're more on a professional level in your life than on just running the streets doing hood rat shit?
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh, hood rat shit?
Nah, not hood rat shit. Yeah. It's man, day in, day out.
Right. So, and the reason, tell me if you feel this is accurate. The reason I can say or I feel like you're one of the best tattoo artists in Houston is because you actually put in work day in, day out. How many hours, just to let the people know, were you at this? You were at the tattoo shop, I believe, from 11 a.m. to, what was it, 10 p.m. or some shit like that?
On Sunday, I was there from 11 a.m. till 9.
Till 9 p.m. Yeah. And that was not doing hood rat shit. That was working.
It was straight work, no breaks. Well, we had two breaks, but they were like 2 minutes apiece.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of hours. You know what I'm saying? And how many hours would you say... are you at a point, you're 18 years in the game, right? Are you at a point where you got it, or do you actually work on perfecting your craft daily?
Every day day, man.
Right, right. Can you explain that to the people so that, I feel like this is a very, very important thing that anyone listening should really hone in on. Can you explain what that means every day?
So even though I'm confident in what I do, there's always something you can mess up, man. And that's not like on purpose or whatever. There's a lot of ins and outs with tattooing. It's, you know, whether it's confidence in the piece or whether it's the person getting the tattoo. There's a lot of little things that you got to look for. But at the end of the day, you really
And I know you know your shit, but can we talk as if anyone listening, they don't know anything about tattoos. So can you tell them what the little things would be that you look for as a veteran tattoo? We can call you a veteran. 18 years is a...
Most dev, man. What I was going to say is, man, I take pictures of everything. Even if I don't post it, I take pictures.
Right.
I go home and I stare at those pictures.
And you study them.
For hours. Yes. For hours. And I nitpick the shit out of them, man. From, you know, every single line to some shading that's maybe not close enough to a line to maybe a highlight that should be there or a skin break or whatever.
Right. You know, What's a skin break? What does that mean?
A skin break is an area where you don't necessarily tattoo. It's an area that can be left as a highlight for, you know, to create a contrast inside the image. So
that's dope. Okay, so let me ask you this, man. When people come to you to get tatted, what is the process? Like, so let's say, I'm not going to give the example. you're doing it every day, day in, day out, and you've had hundreds, thousands of clients, right? Give me an example of somebody that comes to you. Let's do a male example and a female example. And what's the one thing, let's just take the most you've heard, like the biggest, what is it, a request or the biggest, what's the number one tattoo females come in when they come see you and ask for?
Man, probably a name or a butterfly or maybe
a heart.
Man, a few years back, it was infinity symbols. So many infinity symbols.
Yeah, okay.
We no still doubt. Get those, man, with like a name in the infinity.
Let me ask you this real quick. Do you feel like the tats on your end that you see go along with the trends of the time?
Most definitely.
100%, right? Most so people, and to you, I know you don't judge at all, but like, do you feel like that, like, you know, when do you like doing, and I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyways, do you like doing trending tattoos or do you prefer it when somebody comes in with an original idea and you get to put your magic touch? What I mean by that, not even just when you're actually putting it on the skin, before that, when you actually get to put your creative touch on it.
Yeah, I love being able to create, man. Honestly, I don't mind the trends, but let's take, for example, males, man. It's been an ongoing thing, and I can't even tell you how many years, but it's like lions with crowns and clocks and roses, you know?
It's
a lot of the same shit.
Okay.
But the thing is, if you just tell me you want that, I ain't trying to look at Pinterest or nothing like that.
Right.
Grab it offline. I'm trying to get my own references and compile it myself. You know,
100%. And I think we kind of tapped on this. We were speaking the other day, like, and I'm not going to shout out to my mans. I'm not going to actually, you know, call him out on this thing. But there is a tattoo of that somebody did that we're both familiar with, that the person, the tattoo artist. And shout out to that tattoo artist as well. I mean, to each their own. But they basically just, they copy and paste it off of like a font file and then just put it on with no actual differentiation. You remember we were speaking about this?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember that, man. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. But
again, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
Also, you know, I used to do walk-ins, man. And that's when somebody just walks in out of the blue and asks for a tat, and they want it, and you got to get it and go. And that's understandable, man. But even myself, I may or may not do that. But let's put it like this. If I was to take something off of a computer, I'm going to still give it my little.
Exactly. That, and that's what we were speaking about. And that is a tremendously huge difference. Back in the day and even now, lions, clocks, and what was the other thing you said? Crowns. Yeah. Okay. Do you feel like that's because males, do you feel like that's a trend, or is because males associate with being a king and being a lion? Because I understand if you're really a lion, like in your heart, you know what I'm saying? If you really that dude, you know, then yeah, 100%. But if you just like, oh, you know, cause, and if you really a king, I understand that because, you know, these are deep. If you have them in your core, in your heart, internally, they're deep actual symbols, you know. But if you're just getting them, you know, but I look at things, I feel you and I have the same eyes, but I look at things different. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever get anything that is just like, you know, it looks cool. Every tat.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell these guys, let's finish with the female side. I'm going to tell them a little story real quick. But with the females, so you talked about the males, that's the trend you've been seeing. With the females, you touched on, it used to be infinity symbols. But give me an example of a female coming into the shop and they, you know, what's the biggest request that they ask you?
Man, there's a lot of girls that get like matching tats, man. They want to come with their homegirl and get a little friendship shit. You know,
okay,
what I'm saying?
Okay.
And we'll fuck around and knock that out. Maybe just girls are random, man.
They are. They're okay. Real. So, but and guys are more,
more direct.
Okay.
Like with the symbolism that I was speaking about, honestly, most dudes, they'll see their homeboy or another dude that they might think that has a little bit more like stature in society, like, maybe look more hard or so, and they're like, that dude's hard. I'm trying to get them tats. Them tats look tight.
Yeah.
Copycat that shit. Girls, they just like cute shit, man. They want to look sexy. You know what I'm saying?
And you feel like they don't copycat? Well, I mean, when everyone gets a butterfly, you know, so a butterfly, you know, is one of the symbology in my view is like one of the dopest actual, it symbolizes so much, because to become a butterfly, you first have to be a caterpillar and die as a caterpillar. Yep. To become, transform into something else. But do you feel like girls get it for that reason, or just because it's girly and, you know?
Man, I would say so, man. A lot of them, there used to be a running tat that would be like bird silhouettes, man, just black birds, you know? And it's like a symbol of like freedom, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or growing the wings, but that's where the butterfly comes in. So a lot of ladies, you know, when they're going through a transition, a lot of times they'll go ahead and get a butterfly because they're feeling their life. They're
right.
They're spreading the wings.
And is that important for you to understand why the person is getting the tat? Does that help you as an artist, or it doesn't?
Sometimes.
Meaning not just with the birds. I'm saying if it does it kind of help you to understand, like if the male or the female came in and they were like, "Yo, A, B, C, D, E, F, G." It don't have to be something crazy, but like, even if they're just like, "Yo, you know, I'm just going through this kind of thing in my life, and I want to get," does that help you?
Most definitely, bro, because there could be like a half sleeve I'm creating, man, and right. They got a little story.
For the people that don't know, what's a half sleeve? Just so for the people that don't understand.
A half sleeve would be either from the wrist to the elbow all the way around, or from the elbow to the top of the shoulder all the way around.
Right, so half the arm.
So, yes.
Okay, and so you keep going. You were saying if you're creating a half sleeve.
Let's say I'm creating a half sleeve or any big project at that, man, if they got a little bit of a story behind it, it gives me a feeling that I can incorporate into that tattoo, you know.
Right.
The same goes with my art, you know. A lot of times I'll create some things and I have to have some feeling, some emotion that's coming from
absolutely
deep. So
I'm gonna tell our listeners, our audience, our viewers a little story. When I came to E, and I'm a very private person, so I'm not gonna actually tell what that first tattoo we did meant, but there was a very important reason, you know. But it's important just for me to explain this one thing. It took me 2 years to actually get the tattoo, not because there's not enormous amount of tattoo artists in Houston, right? It took me 2 years, the first tattoo that E did for me, it took me 2 years to find the tattoo artist to actually get it done, because it was that deep and that important. There was a reason, if you remember, the first one, this one.
Oh, yeah.
So what the crazy thing is, man, E and I had been back and forth on IG. And it's what the craziest thing is that I knew he was a tattoo artist. In fact, I got, before I even knew E, I have like 19, 20 different tattoo artists, like their pages, you know what I'm saying? But the thing about the reason why, I don't know if I told you this, the reason why I came to you is because you had been, just for that whole evolution of us even being friends on social media, you always shooting positive shit on the videos. There would be training videos of me and my ex, positive. There would be training videos of me and whoever, always positive comments. So the energy I felt, like I was like, yo, this dude has always been, it's just positive energy. And I still, like, I was very tentative and hesitant not to go to E, just to anybody, because if you remember, bro, the last the one that you fixed for me, thank you for doing that, by the way, and not to knock, the last tattoo I got before I went to E, the dude, you've seen what I wanted and you've seen what I got. Well, can you speak on that real quick? We're just speaking real. We're not knocking. We just got to be real, yeah, to explain the difference.
He didn't even give you what you wanted, bro.
At all, right? Not even close,
man.
Right?
I don't know what he was thinking, but I guess that was a style he does.
Well, I would like to say something. Tell me if you agree with that. I feel like he was thinking, let me just make the bread and keep it moving.
That's kind of what I felt too, man. He kind of just like, let me knock this motherfucker out and get him out of here.
And the kind of person I am, dog, like, you know, this is on my body. You know this about me, E. I had to, so let me ask you this real quick before I finish with this, where are we going with this? Do you feel like, to truly have trust between the client and the tattoo artist, do you feel like that is fundamentally important?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Do you feel like it's the most important thing?
Honestly, I do, man, because a lot of people, they don't know your job. They don't know anything that it consists of. And sometimes things take a lot more time, a lot more effort than people think. And it hurts.
Shit, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? different people have different pain tolerances. So if there's already a lack of trust, they finna feel it a lot more. They're going to be stressing about it, and it makes my job a lot harder.
Absolutely. So, that's one point, but there's also another point. Well, I'll just speak on my own experience, because we keep it 100% real. I have developed trust with E as my tattoo artist, to where I can just tell him, and then, yo, I'll tell you, for example, the one we're doing right now, I'm like, yo, bro, this is what it means to me. You know what I'm saying? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I sent him a picture of it. And then you put, and I trust that he's going to do. I know I trust in his creative process. I trust in his, but first and foremost, I'll say this. I feel like he's one of the most, when it comes to safety and cleanliness. And how important is that? He is one of the best. Mindful or the most on point when it comes to safety and cleanliness. What I mean by safety, I mean like cleanliness. Can you explain to the people. Because you're the artist, what does that mean? And is that even important?
That's number one, man.
Oh, well, why? Can you tell them why?
You want to catch an infection and lose an appendage, then go ahead and be dirty, man. Mm-hmm. Or you want to get a disease, go ahead and be dirty.
Right.
There's so many. Hepatitis C is the number one thing.
Tell the people that don't know, if they're just listening to this and they're like, yo, I love tats, what the fuck is hepatitis C? If they're thinking that, tell them what, I mean, you don't have to break it down like a doctor, but tell them what that means and how that can potentially happen from a shop or an artist or even at home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Explain that. Break that down real quick.
Well, hepatitis lives on the surface for up to 60 days. So if you ain't sterilizing your shit or using the proper, cleaners to clean your stuff, then it could just be, dormant over the shop.
All over and the shop, all over the
if you don't change your gloves correctly, you cross-contaminate. I mean, that shit, a germ doesn't just sit in one place. It travels.
It travels, yeah.
So that shit could be in the restroom. It could be on every door handle, on the floor, everywhere. So if you have open wounds, it's so easy to get that, because it doesn't just die with air like AIDS or HIV.
Right. That's one part of it. What's another part of the cleanliness?
With hepatitis, just let's say you won't even know you have it until it's a little bit too late. And even though they got like cures, or not necessarily cures, but like treatments for
treatments, yeah.
But your liver's gonna start shutting down. You're gonna have big problems, bro. So even though it's kind of rare to see those cases, it's still one of the biggest factors.
It's fundamentally important to exercise. Why even go that route when you can exercise, safe procedures, right?
Plus, man, if you're spending money, bro, why ain't the artist gonna be clean, bro?
Exactly. So there you go. Absolutely, 100%. So let me go back to kind of what we were talking about right here. So when I came to E, you know what I'm saying? The first tattoo that I got, I told him exactly what it was. And it's because of, like I was saying, his positive energy. So I went in, and I told him, and he did a fucking, and I'm not saying it because that's my man's and he on Elevate Lifestyle podcast, none of that. I'm saying it because I'm just keeping 100% real. He did a fucking A1 job. And then if you remember correctly, I was like, yo, bro, I was like, what do you think? Because we had done the tat. Then I was like, yo, what do you think about the shading? And he's like, I was thinking the same thing. Let's shade this. Do you remember that? Yeah. And then I was like, all right, bet. He's like, come back through. And then fucking made it even more A1. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then fucking from there, we just kept on going on and on. Like he did half my arm. This wouldn't be called a sleeve because the other side isn't done, right? Yeah. Or is it a sleeve?
Well, it's like a quarter sleeve.
Man. Quarter sleeve. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be a whole sleeve because I got a whole bunch of other shit that I'm going to come to E with. So, but he did from there up top, did another one. And then from there, each tat I've gotten from him, the trust increases, or deepens, if that makes sense, And there has been times when I've come to you because of the last, the one before E, the way the dude just, fucked off my what I wanted. we did have times where I was like, yo, what? Yo, you was, you know, A, B, C, D. And then you explained to me like, nah, right? There was in the beginning for me to trust somebody takes a lot.
Down, man. You got to break it down to some people, bro. And it's not in a bad way. It's just that, like I said, man, I know my job and the clients don't.
Right.
So if it's like a doctor saying, hey, I'm going to go take your heart out. Why?
Right. Why? Just go ahead and do it. Don't give me a reason. Nah, you got to know why, right? But you're able to break it down and you know, articulate, you know, in a manner that they would understand. Can we talk about, let's go back just a touch, man. Let's go back to, we were talking about you. You started tattooing at home, right?
I was there.
Uh-huh. So your first tattoo was 13. When did you do your first tattoo?
When I was 14.
When you were 14, okay. Yeah. And that was like from what kind of gun or like what? Like?
Well, we used to make homemade machines, so we used to get a fucking a motor out of like a race car, a little RC car, or like a PlayStation control or something that had a little
okay
spinner motor, man.
Right, you used to MacGyver the shit.
Yeah, and we would just hook it up to an AC adapter, the things you used to plug the phone into the wall with, yeah. And, like from a Nokia.
Right.
Put it on a fork, tape it up, put a mechanical pencil in there, and take a sewing needle or a guitar string or whatever, and use some Indian ink and stab each other, bro. But like on some real shit, before I did that, I did a pick tattoo.
To people, what is that?
A pick is literally like you take a needle and put it in some ink and you just stab it.
And you just boom, 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 right?
There's no electricity to it. And honestly, I got into it because when I got my first tat.
What was the first tat? Do you remember that you got?
Yeah, man, I got my last name on my shoulder.
Okay.
And my boy, he did it, and he didn't draw. And that instantly made me feel like, man, I draw.
Yeah, yeah. So you can
do
it
better than that, bro.
Right. So that was like a light bulb moment that went off in your head.
I was like, man, you fucking suck, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
I could just real talk. Yeah, yeah. You just noticed, like, yo, I really fucking draw. And if he, you know, then you could. Okay. So then you started doing tattoos at 14, right? Mm-hmm. When did you actually. Tell me if I remember this correctly. You actually have a degree in business, correct?
Yeah, I have a.
I want the people to understand the reason I'm bringing this up because it's very, very important for people to understand. You're not just like from just doing hood rat shit to just tattooing. You actually went from hood rat shit to actually, you know, understanding what you, you know, different parts of what you wanted to do in life. So you got a degree in, was it business management or administration? What
I can't remember. It's a Bachelor of Science in small business and entrepreneurship.
This is dope, right? So when did you get to where you actually were like, yo, I'm going to tattoo full time? Because in the beginning, 14, so you're fucking around with it, right? Yeah. You're doing little things here and there, but you knew you could do it. You knew how to draw. You love creativity. When did you get to where like, yo, this is what I want to do?
Man, I found myself tattooing after every job. I had jobs and I would always get let go because of some dumbass shit. So, and I would go to work either midday or late afternoon or in the morning. Whether it's in the morning, I'd go home and tat. If it was in the midday, I'd tat and then go to work. You know what I'm saying?
So at that time, you were actually already full-time tatting?
Nah, but the thing was, I always had tattooing there. And see, the biggest thing for me was I didn't like people telling me what the fuck to do.
Right. I mean, 100%. Because you and I are the same. Man. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you had a job, man, and you know, you see other people moving up when you bust your ass for shit.
Right.
And then they don't give you a badass raise. And you're just like, damn, bro, I bust my ass for these people and they don't even respect you.
Yeah, they fucking off.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, bro. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. So I was actually selling dope, you know, weed and shit, you know. Right. And I would tattoo. And I was like, you know what? I'm making more money at the house doing this shit than at a job. Fuck this shit.
Right.
And I got put on papers for some shit 1 year, and I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job, bro.
But, yo, on papers, so for people that don't know, on papers, it's one of the requirements, right?
To have a fucking
job. Yeah, to have a job, right. Otherwise, they're going to hit you over the head. Term, yeah, yeah, term. 100%.
So I was trying to get off, man. I was living with my mom, this and that. And long story short, I ended up, it was MySpace days back then.
So, yo, for all the young, because we got a huge young audience for all the you know, for the people my age, 21. What's MySpace?
MySpace was like the first motherfucking social media, bro.
Was it the first? I think AIM was. Wasn't it? Was it AIM? Is that Yahoo, even what Yahoo? Yahoo, some shit? Yeah. I only know that I'm only 21, but so for some reason I know that
I'm 17. Yeah,
my bad. But so MySpace days. yeah. To be back, but you, this is MySpace days. You was you're on papers. You're trying to look for a job. They fucking you know, they're not biting. They're not fucking allowing you to fucking get a job. So what happened from there?
Honestly, I didn't even have a computer. I would go to my homies and be like, "Hey, bro, let me upload this, man. I put a tag, you know."
Yeah.
So they're like, "Okay, load it up," and then I would get like a couple of homies, you know. Man, I had a dude following me, and he was like, "Hey, bro," he did shirts out of a place called Trader's Village, which is okay. Like a flea market, man. And he owned a little hood shop, and he was just like, "Hey, man, come by if you want to drop some art, and I'll help you make some money for your probation."
Yeah.
So I went and dropped it off, and he was like, "Hey, bro, I see you do tattoos. My little homie say you do tats. It looks good enough to do walk-ins if you want to come fuck around and do walk-ins." I told him, "I don't even know what a walk-in is. What is a walk-in?" So he explained it. I was like, "Look, all I care about is, bro, is can you sign my papers for me to get off of probation?"
Right. At that time, because I mean, at that time, that was the most fundamental thing, because you already knew if you ain't get a motherfucking job or somebody that says you have one, you'd been, you're done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, and he said, "Yeah," right?
Yeah. So he was like, "Oh, hell yeah, bro, we good." And I was like, "So this is like an actual career?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's a job, bro. You make money. Shit.
Right.
You good, man."
Can we talk about something real quick? It just brought it to my mind. And I want to speak about what we were talking about just the other day about your apprentice. Why is that? Because you just said it's like a job. So, right. And I was talking to you about your apprentice. Why does your apprentice right now, you've had many of them, does he treat it like a job or like just a fuck off? Like,
he treats it like a job.
And we were speaking about this. What does that? Why is that so important? Because I guess the question is this: why is it so easy to take it like it's not a job? But then, you know, what is it? Is it, why do people feel like? Like your last apprentice, or the one before that, or the whatever. Why is it so easy for them to take it like it's just like some fuck off? Like, not because of you, but just like the environment. Can you speak on that?
Man, I would just say first and foremost that it's kind of, the whole industry came from an outlaw background.
You know, there you go. That's why I was getting that.
So,
okay, yeah.
You know, people still see it as that. And whether it is or not, man, nowadays, it's become more of a bougie lifestyle, you know. I hate to say it like that. It makes
explain to the people what you mean by that. Well, because bougie to a lot of people means a lot of different things, especially the younger kids these days.
Okay. Bougie, it stems from the word bourgeoisie.
Yeah, so, absolutely. there you go.
Which actually means like a high class, you know, like a fancy this and that, you know. So,
but what does bougie mean? I'm glad you actually said that was dope. What does it mean in tattooing? What does that mean?
Say, you know, it went from, you know, let's say a street thug walking in and saying, "Shit, I'm trying to get my clicks, you know,
right,
represent
100%
get tatted, bro."
Yeah.
They're drinking in there, smoking weed, you know, maybe doing some other illicit shit, man. And now people are paying big money to get tattooed. And what I mean by that is people are not scared to drop racks on racks.
I'm glad you said that. I want to bring something to your attention. And if you understand, man, I'm just gonna, it's all one thorough line, but I'm gonna veer off. So you just said people spend now big money. Can I read something to you, and you tell me what your feeling on this? Okay. Yes or no?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Check it out. So it just, you know, it's crazy he said that, because I was already going to speak to E about this. Okay. So this is a fact, right? This is a, you know, a tattoo effect. I want to know what you feel about this. So I'm going to read it and then you give me your thoughts, right? The most expensive tattoo in the world costs $924,000. It is done with half a carat of diamonds encrusted into the skin instead of ink, and it's the only one that's ever been done before or after. Tell me your feeling on that. First of all, let me ask you a question. First, tell me your feeling on that, and then let me ask you another question about this.
First off, who the fuck thought you could put diamonds in the skin?
Hey, okay, yeah. But here's the thing. Is that even possible?
I have no motherfucking clue, man. I'm going to be real with you. Uh-huh. I have a colleague of mine. I don't work with them currently, but we were speaking about trying to make, like, glitter ink. Because we get requested for it so much. So it's almost the same thing, but...
Right, so...
Who knows? It's a lot of experimenting.
Okay, a lot of experimenting. Okay, but so since you were talking about now, it's like people, they spend a racks, right? 909, what... Is that even something that, you know, would be like, let's take the half a carat of diamonds aside, right? Okay, $924,000 on a tat, $924,000, let's just say $1 million on a tat. Is that something that you feel is just like, you know, motherfuckers just, they're out of their mind with that? Or
that's being bougie, bro.
Yeah,
that's
bougie. Like exactly. That's why I brought it up. Yeah.
That's like these rappers now getting grills that cost, or, you know, I don't know which rapper did it. It was probably last year sometime. He got what's called a dermal in between his eyes.
Oh, please let them know what that means so that they can.
It's literally a piercing that just lays under the skin. It's a surface piercing, man. And, I think it costs like $500,000, which is okay. is ridiculous, bro.
So people nowadays, because back in the day, it's like, yo, you getting tatted, and especially if you, unfortunately, not you, I'm saying people, if a person had the unfortunate life circumstance of being locked up, you know, back in the day, tats are like either you getting them when you locked up, you know what I'm saying, or if you, like you said, you represent. You're set, you know, but now it's turned into, but it's dope though, right? Because it's art. Yeah. I don't agree with the trends and the faking that you're part of something that you're not. Cause a lot of people, let me ask you this, bro, how many people in your experience, in your tattoo experience have come with get tattoos?
Built an image?
Yeah.
A lot, bro.
A lot. A lot. Right. Okay. Lot. So, and it's become like that nowadays. You've been tattooing for 18 years. When did you see a shift in those 18 years to
most
where?
Definitely, bro.
And when, how long ago do you feel like that?
I'd say within the last 10.
10 years. Okay.
The last 10.
Can I read another fact for you? And then you give me your thoughts and feelings on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the world's richest tattoo artist is Scott Campbell, who charges $1,000 for the first hour and only works on the weekends. I find, before you say anything, I find it interesting that they had to put "and only works on the weekends." So $1,000 an hour for tattooing, do you feel like that's, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it said for the first hour. So.
Okay, it's for the first hour, okay.
But
well, and what is that? So when you hear that as a tattoo artist, what does that mean? Man, so that means first hour is $1,000.
Uh-huh. So you gotta understand, man. Back in the day, art used to be something that was sought after. You know,
absolutely.
Like Picasso. You know.
Shout out. Yeah.
Like, hey, oh well, let me get a Picasso. You know, what are those people remembered by? Well, not everybody wants to be a daily artist. You know, some people just want to make art enough to be remembered in a different way.
Right.
So, you know, some people want to make art every day. I want to make art every day, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess
if I'm remembered or not, to be honest, but it's my passion. So that dude might be like, hell, I can make as much money as I want, but I'm going to have less pieces out there, which technically
pulls up the valuable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, 100%. Exactly. Let's read one more, and then I want to get back to what we're talking about. And I want to talk about what's right here on the table in a second. Can we read one more? Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
All right, but let's really quick, man. Let's go into you know what? Let's go into. Give me okay. Can you give me your thoughts? Actually, I'm gonna read two more, but first, yeah. One of the oldest, and I just want your thought because you're a tattoo artist, you're a veteran. So just one of the oldest recorded tattoo ink recipes consists of Egyptian pine bark, carotid bronze, vinegar, vitriol. Vitriol, I'm sorry. Leek juice and insect eggs. Can you give me your feeling on that? Because you said in the beginning, and of course, you didn't use this little concoction right here, but you were doing tattoos like pick. What would you call it? Pick tattoo.
Yeah, hand poke.
Hand pick. Yeah. What ink were you using at that time?
Some shit called Indian ink.
Okay, Indian ink. So So just give me your thoughts on this right here. Egyptian pine bark, carotid bronze, vinegar, vitriol, leek juice, and insect. What the insect eggs? What do you feel that's for?
Honestly, it's probably to hold
everything together, right? Yeah.
They needed something to bind it. So honestly, ink sits in your cellular pores. So whatever is liquid gets absorbed through your body and it gets flushed out, you know, just like everything. But if you look into ink nowadays, it's made with a lot of, I wouldn't say similar shit, but there's so many things put into ink that it's not just a pigment. It's whatever that pigment is made of, which could be metal particles, plastic particles. I mean, there's the list goes on.
Shout out to Eternal Ink. Yo, that's not my brand, in case you guys think I'm... No, but that is a brand. Yeah, most definitely. Yo, it is your boy Eternal, but Eternal Ink is what you guys use in the shop.
Super good brand, yeah, it's very, very
A1, good. Man. And again, that's not associated with me, but I'm shouting it out, not because it's just got my name on it, but because I've been tatted by Eternal Ink, right? You put that ink on me, that's A1 ink. That's yeah.
People I fuck with use.
Yo, let's read one more. Are you ready for this one?
Most definitely.
Okay, so... Actually, we're going to do two more. So Gregory Paul McLaren holds the Guinness World Record for being the most tattooed person. He is 99.9% covered, including the inside of his eyelids, mouth, and ears. What's your, let me hear, and then I'm going to ask a follow-up question. Go ahead. What's your thoughts on that?
That boy got big boy nuts again inside of your eyelids.
Yo, that's why. In fact, that's why I read it to you, because I wanted to ask you that. Look, so what, inside of your eye, when I was prepping our our interview, I was like, yo, I looked at that. I'm like, yo, I gotta ask you, what the fuck inside of your eyelids? First of all, I'm just trying to understand, like, what would be the purpose? Because like, you don't walk around with eyelid.
Freak show, man.
Yeah, but who would see it? How do you even show that off?
Man, you remember in school, you'd have those fools that flip their shit inside out?
Yeah, hey, but that, you can't. Yeah, okay, damn.
I can't all right. do it, but I know some friends that can. They probably won't.
But how would they tat that?
Probably the same way.
Yeah, damn. That's crazy, dog. So besides inside the eyelids, it also says that, so mouth and ears. So the mouth... The inside of the mouth, is that, have you done inside of the mouth tattoos?
Yeah, man. People get their gums tattooed. People get the inside of their lips tattooed, man.
The roof of the mouth. Okay. Yeah, explain to me, how would you do that?
So a lot of times when you do like gum tattoos or the top of the roof, you're going to have to hand pick it, man. It's hard to get a machine in there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Get a needle up in there. But okay. When you do the lips, man, most of the time an artist will have the...
Just
the
drop it down. Yeah.
Client will hold it.
Does the saliva interfere with this process?
It will if you don't dry it out, but we dry that motherfucker right
off. What's that process like to dry it out?
Take a Bounty paper towel, the quicker pick her up.
Okay, yeah. Yo, all right, no doubt. Shout out to Bounty, man. Okay, so we're going to read one more, and then we'll come back to these because we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. You ready for one more?
Hell yeah.
58% of women have at least one tattoo, while only 41% of men have one. However, women are twice as likely to get their tattoos removed as men. And we kind of touched on this. What's your feelings on we touched on not the removal part, but what's your feeling? Or do you agree with that?
I wouldn't know nowadays if that's is that a fact.
That's facts. Like from actually,
man,
tonight.
Probably see that because I feel like a lot of girls will get like a young tat, you know, when they're young, trying to do some spicy shit with the girls, but then probably regret it. Whereas a male, they might take a little longer to get it, or they might get it younger, but they're gonna wear the fuck out.
Right, but then is it also like? Do you feel like? So we kind of touched on when girls come in, right? Do you feel like a lot of girls get names of who they're with at the time, and then they're like, when that's over, they want to get that? So it
probably
removed or probably covered up, yeah.
So you know, it's sad to say this, man, but I've seen a lot of ladies come in and get names, and it wasn't necessarily on their own behalf. And that sounds...
Oh, like you meaning like it was something forced,
somewhat, or maybe peer pressured.
Peer pressured, yeah, okay. And then getting that removed, do you, how many cover, let's talk about this real quick, do you get a lot of cover-ups?
I do.
I mean, not meaning not do you get cover ups? Do you get requests for cover
ups? Yeah. I do cover ups, so I get a lot of them. I get a lot of them. There's artists that just don't fuck with that shit.
Why? Why is that? Explain that to the people.
One, a cover up's harder than normal tech.
Well, explain. Can you kind of break it down for the listener that doesn't know what you don't have your knowledge?
A lot of times people want to just blast the tattoo over the top and not necessarily cover it. It's just like, let me put a tattoo, and sometimes you can still see the existing tattoo under. But a true cover-up is done to where you don't even know the tattoo underneath is there.
Right.
So it's a bit of a game of an illusion and, the artistic.
How would you go about a process like that? Let's say a female comes in. Well, do you get more male cover up requests or female in your own experience?
I would say
or equal.
It's probably equal, man.
Yeah. So a lot of dudes come in. Like, what dude is it girls' names that they want to get covered up? Or
man, you'll have guys with like old school tribal from like the '90s that don't like it anymore because it's not a trend anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like barbed wire that they want to get rid of.
Yo, remember when that shit? Yo, what's shout out to what's that old school shorty's name? And she was like the everyone was like Baywatch girl. What was her name?
Pamela Anderson.
She had that. Did she have barbed wire on her arm or some shit or on her thigh? Shit. No, she had barbed wire. I remember, I mean, I'm only 21, but I remember, I remember like every girl had barbed wire. Yeah, I can't remember. It was probably on, I think on her arm or her bicep, some shit.
That's one of them things that's like a fad, you know, people see it and they want to relate. So
Then they grow up and they're like, why'd I get this?
Because Pamela Jolie has something that they copied a lot too. It's like a tat on her back or something.
Shout out, first of all, shout out to Angelina Jolie. She's one of, in my opinion, man, one of the dopest actresses, and now she's crossed over into directing. I really got so much respect for her as an actress, as a just a female period. Like, not on, you know, everyone's like, I want Angelina Jolie lives this, that. I'm of course she's a beautiful woman, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she's old now, but like the Angelina, I mean, I respect her as an actress, man. You cannot even fucking Tomb Raider, 100, man. But even before that, she was killing it. Hacker, I could go on and on, but Tomb Raider, she killed that 100%. So, when you get somebody that a girl, she comes in and she wants to get something covered up, how is that process like? How do you go? How do you go about that? Like, obviously you have to look at the tat, right? And then do they come in with what they want it to cover up? Or do they ask you like, hey, I don't want this. Give me something else.
A lot of times they're trying to get what they want, but most of the time
they know what they want to cover it with.
Yeah, but most of the time I was gonna say you can't use what they want because they don't know how a cover up works.
Right, so, and then you gotta break it down.
Just want to put the tattoo on top of the tattoo, and what you're doing there is you're focusing the eye right on top of that. You want to create a shift in where your eye looks, so you don't want to be looking at exactly where you cover it up. You want to be looking all over the place. And if the piece is a little bit bigger or flowing and or colorful or a lot more detail, you're going to be able to achieve that. So you have to be able to put something on there that's not just slapping it on top, man, like a sticker, you know.
Right, and that takes a real tattoo artist to actually, to be able to see. So,
and the trust that you're talking about.
Trust is everything. I really do feel that at the beginning and the end of the day, the more trust that the client has in the artist, the more that they're going to, you know, it's like with anything, man. When two people are interacting in, you know, even like, so with a student coach, there is a trust, right? The coach needs to be able to have the student's trust, because a lot of times, yo, let's talk about this for a minute. This is all about tattooing, but let's talk about this. When we've trained, how much crazy shit have I asked you to do?
All of it.
Elevate Lifestyle Podcast, AR Records, this your boy Eternal. Elevate your mind, elevate your body, elevate your soul, and in turn, elevate your lifestyle.